sets of minutes. The first one is for July the 18th, 2019. You've had those in your packets, I believe, and a motion to approve.
Is that in my packet?
Okay. No, it was in the email.
Oh,
it was,
okay.
Yeah, it was in the attachment.
Okay. I'd make a motion to approve them.
Second.
And the second set of minutes is September 19th.
I'd make a motion to approve our September 19th.
Second.
All in favor? A vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. The next item on our agenda is a work session. At that point, turn it over to Tom.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Aaron.
Tom, is this different than the one that was in the, what was mailed out? Oh, okay.
It's very similar. The arrow might be in a different spot. Yours might be more accurate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're now here.
It might be slightly more accurate. It's basically the same thing.
Okay,
so the only item really on our work session is an updated Mill Creek Boulevard sub-area plan. And three of you are on the committee, so you guys know almost as much about it as I do. So feel free to interject if you feel like you would like to. A little bit of history is in April, we hired OTAC to help us prepare this plan. The plan, as you can see on here, there's four different phases. The first two phases, initiate and communicate. Community participation and review and assess are currently going on. This big orange dot here with the one on it, we had a big flurry of public involvement, and the commission was part of that. We had a workshop with you guys as well as about 10 other different groups. And so right now we are meeting, and these, the little dots below sort of represent the various meetings, and the green dots, and I took this from last night's meeting, that's why it's pointing at a green dot, is there's various meetings, and then the purple dots are when I go back to the Planning Commission and to the City Council after we have a meeting. And so what we're trying to do is keep the Planning Commission and City Council informed of what's going on at the meetings, and that way at the end there's no surprises. If there's a chance to, if we need to do a course correction, then we have the opportunity to do that. It's important, we stress every time this is a long-term plan. We're not, the place isn't in distress. It's not, there's a lot of investments, recent investments. We're not trying to kick anybody out. This is looking forward, you know, 10 or 15 years, 20 years. The reason we're doing it now is because we're going to be investing in the infrastructure. We're going to be repaving the road. We're going to do some stormwater repairs. We do a lot of digging. And so if we're going to change what it wants to be in the future, we might as well put that in our plans now and build it for the future and not just redo it and have, you know, the way it is now and have to redo it. There's a planning advisory committee, which three of you are on, and they're the ones sort of steering the work. And we've met four times now. At the time that I put together your attachment, we'd only met three different times. And so most of what I'm talking about is sort of the third meeting, and then we can talk a little bit about what we talked about last night at the end. So anyways, I promised I'd give an update every time, so here I am doing that. So one thing, if you want to look at what the PAC is talking about at our meetings, we're posting everything on the website. So I don't know if you opened your packet on the browser, you can click, I put a link on there, learned how to do that last week, how you write the word here. If you click it, it goes somewhere else. So it does that now, but it's on our webpage. We had a really big meeting on November the 3rd, I think it was. No, November the 20th, that was our third meeting. And it was a pretty big agenda. And so some of the highlights, when I gave it to the council, I wrote up a, put it in paper, right in here. Yeah, so it's the agenda summary, which is what I'm going from. So it sort of gives the notes of the meeting, really. And so what we talked about, several things. The first thing we talked about was what the existing uses in the zone district are, the community business and BP. We talked about that if we want to get something different than what we've got now, we're probably going to have to come up with a different kind of a zone. So we've done that before with the East Gateway area, with the town center area, with the apartments up north of town center. Those are all special zones we did after a planning effort. So that's that could be the result here. Next thing we talked about was one of the issues is that there's the creek runs along the west side of the property. And so there's a buffer right now that it's all non-conforming now. It's too close to the creek. And so the committee is saying, well, why would anybody redevelop that if they're going to lose half their land? And I gave an update that in 2015, the Planning Commission, some of you were here, some of you weren't, but we adopted an ordinance that basically grandfathers in the footprint of all the pavement where the parking spots are and the businesses are if you upgrade your stormwater all the way. So for the purpose of our planning effort, you should assume that you're not going to lose any land. You're going to be able to develop to where it is. We spent a lot of time talking about stormwater issues. Right now, we say you can develop it if you upgrade all your stormwater, well, that's a pretty expensive proposition. And so we're looking at ways to maybe do it in a regional way where you could have one large area and sort of pipe it all in. Right now, we're doing that with Lot 6, the lot that's out there, but it doesn't meet code. It's a lot smaller than current. So we did an example of kind of how big that would have to be in some potential locations. Then we talked also about that if that were to happen, it would take city leadership to make it happen because we probably have to help finance it to work out like latecomers agreements. But it's not going to happen on its own piecemeal. It would have to be a unified effort. Another thing we went over was sort of the results of our community stakeholder workshops, that orange dot number one, and there was a really long report that went on. And then there's a summary in the report here that talked about all the various things here. So I don't know if you want me to read those to you or not, but they're in your packet. And the next step, which is what we talked about last night when the committee got together, was the visioning exercise. Because what we're going to be doing next is coming up with taking the information we heard from our public workshops, coming to sort of the vision, and we're going to use that to create two different alternatives, probably different degrees of intensity. And we're also going to have the third alternative, which is the base condition. So that'll sort of be the baseline, and then we will do our analysis as far as pros and cons, impacts for traffic, and financial kind of impacts. Those will all sort of be calculated, sort of compared against the existing. So that'll be return of investment is what they call it. So we spent some time last night working on that, and what they did is they put boards around the room, and we had basically under these categories that are in the packet, sort of all the different, there's transit, open space, trails, where's some of the other ones, Matt? Public art, other things. And they put them all around and they gave everybody 30 different dots. And you can go around and you can kind of put down what was sort of the things that were more important or you felt stronger committed. It was all these different phrases. I think there were 92 phrases. And then there were five red or six red or orange dots you could use that, or green dots that you could use that be the most important, the ones that sort of your top five. And so they went around, and I think we got a pretty good picture kind of mm-hmm. of where the group kind of sits. There were some things that had no dots at all, which surprised me a little bit. Like nobody seemed to be very interested in public art, but there were a lot of dots on North Creek Trail, the green space, and improving the campus, maybe some sort of outdoor performing kind of stuff.
Or non-motorized, bicycle, walking were big, it seemed like. Yeah. They'd be under different themes, so the same wording could be on two of them, and you'd sit there and look and go, okay, so people bought into that. Safety, security, community.
Pedestrian-oriented.
Yeah, pedestrian-oriented were all, I think, really big. I mean, Dennis,
So we had a really good discussion. It was about an hour and a half or so. I think then we're going to be meeting sometime in January. It's probably like a 3-hour, we're going to do a charrette, where we're going to take those themes that we come up. And I'll be back to you also with a sort of, we're going to draft a vision statement from what happened last night and go back to the council and the planning commission, and then we're going to use that in our charrette and come up with two different alternatives. And I think they talked about trying to have two different or some different scenarios, some sort of themes, and then we'll sort of assign people. People can kind of go into the one they kind of are more interested in and then present them back to the group and then sort of whittle it down to two different scenarios. So you were at one of the meetings. You guys were at the other meetings. Do you guys have anything to add or to share or to tell us how you think it's going? Or
I thought at the first meeting, because I was on the planning commission when we looked at the whole redevelopment along North Creek itself, and you know, I was pretty supportive and of us driving for, if you redevelop there, can we get a win-win in my mind of improve the drainage facilities that now basically direct discharge into North Creek, so it's not great because you're getting oily pavement and that kind of stuff. Can you improve those and still maintain footprint? Because you know, DOE and the regulations on drainage are getting tougher and tougher all the time. And whether we're at the right place or not, it was interesting to see OTEC had taken it a stage farther and looked and said, what do you have to do if you want to, you know, would we have the soils so we could return that, you know, treat the water and then return it to the groundwater? Do we have the soils so that we could do that in a couple places? Would we look at a partnership with WashDOT because they supposedly own a large retention facility just behind the QFC? Would we do something ourselves? Our storm drainage right now in the shopping center, we basically said, hey, it was like for like, so they didn't have to redo anything. But under either redevelopment of any of that area, meaning you add more buildings or redevelopment of the stuff we're doing, you have to go and meet the current standard. You can't just use what's there. And so at some point, those regulations are going to catch us as a city. And then the big policy issue becomes, do we drive a regional, quote unquote, you know, solution there? Or is it just catch as catch can, and each developer's in there putting in their own RD pond and trying to do tanks and all that kind of stuff? And so, you know, it's one of the things we'll have to grapple with as a city. And I know Dennis and I were talking about it. It's like, at what cost? And like you brought up, would there be a financing piece? Could we get grants on that? Could we have latecomers so that as the parcels redevelop, the counties or the cities reimbursed for those costs? So, you know, those are some interesting ideas of ultimately, can the city support long-term development and improve the water quality on North Creek and do it in some kind of revenue neutral fashion? You know, and that was kind of, you know, that was, I think, one of the interesting concepts of the earlier meeting is the way I would phrase that one. And,
yeah,
you know, that's one of those things. If we can do that, storm drainage is going to be a make or break for a lot of developers, and that makes us more competitive in Montlake Terrace or Snohomish or Mukilteo, because we potentially could have that if we put it together right. And we get the benefit societally of improving North Creek.
Well, yeah, the fact of taking something that's I mean, it's a very large area that's going through totally untreated, they'd be eligible for grants from the Department of Ecology, so they'd be a really good project for that, sort of the retrofit kind of stuff, to get it back into the current code. Another sort of underlying thing is that things are going to go just the way they are, sort of this sort of facelift kind of redevelopment, maybe knock a building down and rebuild it like Sherry's happened. You're going to get little things like that unless we do something probably to help make the stormwater be more cost effective, and also some sort of a zoning incentive, because no one's going to knock down their two-story walk-up office building if they can only build another two-story office building, because it's like for like. So it's going to have to, there's going to have to be some sort of a incentive for them to do that. Otherwise, it's going to stay the way it is. And that's fine. Like we've said along, is we're looking at the opportunities. It may turn out when we see all the numbers that that's not what we want, but we're exploring that, make sure that we have all the facts in front of us and make a decision.
As I was alluding to before the meeting, just last night's meeting, there was a small but vocal camp or vehement camp of anti-housing downtown, and it was interesting to peel that one back, and it was anti-apartment, and the council members there said, hey, you know, if it's housing, we can't say it's yes or no, but actually I think that was one of the ones where incentivizing it, you can make some of it affordable housing, you can make it some market rate, and you can make it some of it condo-wise. And so there were ways that it's not a a yes or no, but there is some way to say it is ownership of some of the units. And so I thought that was a kind of a breakthrough, because what I learned is that was kind of polarizing in our city, and I didn't realize how polarizing it was. I mean, that was an interesting piece.
One thing to think about is that this is, we're talking 20 years plus, which is a long ways away, and we don't know what the market for office is going to be or anything like that. So one of the ways that you could do is zoning, and because there is the political tension over apartments. I mean, that's there. You could end up having a what they call a form-based zoning code that doesn't say what the use is. It just focuses on what it looks like, what the parking requirements are, how far it sets back, without saying what the uses can be. So you wouldn't say it has to be housing or it has to be office. It's more kind of open, so the market kind of drives that, and that way over time it could do that. And that means housing could still go there. So it's not totally, but it isn't like saying we're going to have it has to be housing. It may end up being something else.
That just, it came up as one of the contentious issues. There was
I'm just wondering, as a city, have we looked at any other cities? Because I think here you hear the apartment versus not apartment and ownership versus not. But when you look at the economics of apartment dwellers, sometimes they spend more because they have more disposable income. And those are what keep some places like a town center going, because you've got folks walking out to eat dinner. They don't have the big grand kitchens where they're cooking in all the time and things like that. And I think there have been some other cities that have played with that, with the first notion being, oh, everybody needs to be an owner so we can have our city beautiful. But then they realize, oh, wait, these folks with apartments, they're actually spending more in the community, making those retail cores actually viable for the folks who live a little further out that are in houses. But I'm wondering if we've looked at any cities. About Portland, I know even Everett right now is going through this whole housing thing, but you look at like around that Funco area, they're building a lot more apartments, and there's a lot more younger workers who are there spending a lot of money eating out, getting coffee twice a day, things like that.
Mandy, I mean, the consultant from OTEC kind of touched on a little bit of that, that the world is changing, that, you know, in the younger generation, the ownership isn't only an economic choice, it's a lifestyle choice. But you know, how do you get that so that we get consensus as a city, I would say.
It hasn't been all that long ago that we went through the cycle going the other way, where people were converting apartments to condominiums.
Condoizing them, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have, there's a lot of literature that we have that we could even send out again that talks about the mixed-use developments and the tax revenues they generate and comparing them to like the big box retail, and that in reality, because of the way it's all shoved into a smaller footprint, that actually the generation of revenue and tax revenue is much higher on a mixed-use kind of a project in the long term, and it takes less infrastructure, less roads, less...
And less much higher by a big... margin.
By a lot, yeah. And I've been to some presentations, and they show the graphs of where all the value in the properties are and where the revenue is. And right downtown is where all the spiking thing is going, where the mixed-use areas and the areas like where the big shopping centers are. It's actually lower, even though that's where you're getting all your sales tax from. But as far as per acre, it's much lower. So we could probably send out some things like that.
It would help, because it was, it's this feeling. It's not... I think that's short-term thinking, and we're trying to really look longer-term. The congestion and transit-friendly definitely came up, I would say. I have a bias because I think, hey, we should get some of the traffic back onto the state routes or 164th. I thought that seemed to be, I was seeing some amount of agreement on that Mill Creek Boulevard shouldn't be a through road. It could be a main street. I don't know if it, you know, looked like downtown town center. Probably have more volume, but the idea of routing the traffic back onto the routes. And then the whole question of, as we look at the rapid transit, does it go through this new Main Street, or does it stay on the 164th and Bothell Everett? I mean, we're both there. I mean, I was kind of watching to see where people were at on that whole, you brought the corner, which is kind of the short-term issue.
It's a separate issue.
But longer term, I think people are worried about congestion, and I think they view it as a cut-through route. I mean, people have talked about
that. There's a project in the TIP that takes turning left from 164th onto Mill Creek Boulevard to have two left turn lanes and then run two lanes and have it come into one right around the Bank of America. So that would help because there's a big long line that goes up past the church. So that's designed to handle that. But if the idea of this plan is that it shouldn't be a cut through, well, then that's going to take that project. That's in our comp plan.
Yeah, and
so those are things that are going to come out of this plan that are going to affect the TIP.
See, and that's, yeah, do you do the dual lefts onto Mill Creek Boulevard or do you do it onto Bothell Everett Highway?
Well, that vote was strong. People wanted to keep Mill Creek Boulevard the way it is and keep all the traffic on 164th.
Okay, I have a bias to going that way, so I'm interested to hear you say that,
yeah,
I think.
So I agree with that as well.
So I think you can make, I mean, it's where you're going to compromise, and,
yeah,
you know.
And we don't have,
well, that's where the visioning statement, and it'll be interesting to see when OTAC comes back with these things, because from all of the choices, even from the meeting before, there were things that you can't have both of these things that are so important. So you can't have two turn lanes going to Mill Creek Boulevard and maintain a pedestrian-friendly, open, natural space. I mean, that's just those.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What is it? Just like, okay, well, we want a thriving town center, we want successful businesses, but we don't want any people who live anywhere near it. So you can't have that either, because that came up, and as the trend getting away from, you know, the lower floor retail and more of just, you know, active space, whether it's office, a gym, something else, because, you know, the future of retail, we don't need more stores that are, we got, how many,
what was it,
10,000, how many thousands empty retail now in town center?
Which, but it's interesting though, so that, I don't know if you guys have been there, that Inco store,
mm-hmm.
the Anco, I've never been in there, but there's this huge article this week in Forbes on that retailer and how they are the marriage of, where they're, if Target and IKEA had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now all of my friend group is like, oh my gosh, we have to go there. So I always just wonder, like, do people know what we have there? And if that smaller footprint is maybe the way to go versus that.
Well, I don't know how long that one's going to be there, because that is just there because their big store is over at
the
Babies
R
Us was.
Yeah. But again, that all of a sudden made it interesting. People were like, let's go out to lunch in Mill Creek. We had no idea there was an Anchor there. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was a big article. And I thought, I've never been there, so I'm like, I gotta go.
Well, and then there's...
What is that? That Inco store. I was just saying how that was apparently a hidden gem.
It was the health food store.
Used
for
to be
all
a
years.
Granola store.
Granola,
yeah.
Granola, yeah.
No, I was going to comment on the double left turns. I love those. I want to open a Fender Benders R Us.
Well, the other sort of wild card in this is that the transportation with the transit coming in and with the potential of the self-driving cars and baby boomers all aging out and people like my son is 28 and he's much more. So the whole system of what people want to do it's very different than people that think like me that are always driving my single occupancy vehicle everywhere. So it's hard to predict exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's this longer-term plan with a lot of change going on.
Is it predictive, or is it, are you driving it, or are you trying to predict it? So to a certain extent, the vision can be like, here's what we're going to be, period, right? And this is, and people who want these things are going to come here, or we're trying to predict what somebody's going to want, and so we need to build it for that potential. So I guess that's...
It's just that push-pull. I mean...
And it's got to be adaptive, too. I mean, as things change, then we're going to say, well, we're kind of way behind.
It's where the community comes in. It's like what we want our community to
be. What do we want to be? And by us at least meeting and having these discussions as a city, hopefully we're a little bit ahead of where other people are at. And it was at the one meeting where Tim said, he said, hey, you're okay on housing. More housing would be good. But what you really needed was daytime shoppers or daytime... activity.
We need more people.
More people there, you know, people who are in a business there and go out to go lunch there, not just dinner. It was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that was, he was saying, from an economic standpoint, you needed these daytime employment where people would go and shop. It's kind of what I recall. I mean, I'm very inarticulate.
Support the lunchtime, right? It's not just the weekend or just after work,
mm-hmm.
but what's going on.
And
we have some of that.
Care,
we have very not dense office.
And there's
some. We see people straggling down the sidewalk to go to the restaurant at lunchtime.
Yeah.
but it's not like a big office building, you know.
Or the WeWork kind of thing came up in the meeting, you know.
Yeah, that came up in our big meeting too. But I mean, again, a WeWork, somewhere where you're paying by the hour for childcare so that you can actually use the yoga place, have lunch with your friends, and actually utilize those businesses. And a lot of those cities have, you know, things like that. You incentivize it by saying, how do we get people to stay in this corridor to spend money?
It was, yeah, I think it was interesting to hear Tim talk about, hey, what do you need?
And we got two dead pieces now at the end, the other end of the mall, with the pizza place gone, and now the university bookstore is gone.
Boston's is probably going to be opening pretty soon.
Are they going to come back?
Yeah, they're coming back. And the bookstore might become a childcare. We had some calls around that.
Because that was, I know people have been hankering for someplace to throw those kids, but...
But my point is, it's kind of hard to get excited about things happening on the south end when we've got these two gaping.
You can't be one or the other. I think you got to be and both, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
the daycare is a secret.
Oh, sorry.
It's not a secret. They've asked us to.
We heard nothing.
It's nothing signed. They're still exploring it.
There's a lot of places. It's like 24-hour childcare. So these are very, and with the drop-in per hour rates, a lot of them are going to work. The one place when I'm business is split in, there were some places looking at that one, too.
Yeah, it seems to be a very big market.
It's a huge market.
They just put in the childcare down there next to the self-storage.
That one. Yeah.
So there's one up by Thomas H.
I was going to say, one of the things I think, too, that has come up a little bit is the scale of the buildings. What do we want as Mill Creek? Do we want, what's our height limits thinking? Or are we going to wedding cake it, you know, from the street backwards into the middle? Or, you know, things like that have come up a little bit as well. And I think that's always interesting. It goes to that push-pull thing. If you, it's 70 feet, now it's a different market maybe. Maybe Mill Creek doesn't want 70 feet. Maybe it's only 40. So then it drives again what the potential redevelopment might look like and things like that. So, and then the other thing I keep, I'm interested in too is, even though we can't know the cost, can't quantify it, we need to, I think though, even at this early level, have some idea about, you know, if there's public facilities that we want to finance as a city through bonds or whatever, that should at least be stated. You know, okay, there's a strong push for a community center financed by the city of Mill Creek, you know, on land to be developed or something, or to be purchased. So it's just so it's known right now, so it's not a surprise, I think, down the road. And then other people, like the partnership that Community Transit wants, you know, I put the expectation on them to make sure that they have the facilities they want, but also to pay for them if there's specific facilities that they want as well as part of this. So it's interesting that they're at the table for planning of our land use, I think. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's also, you know, there's a cost aspect to this as well that we should hopefully be included in this as well. Kind of thing, if we pick some kind of public facilities to include in this plan.
Now, CT is paid for their stuff most of the time. I mean,
sure,
pretty much carry their own weight. And we invited them to be on that because we, there's like some of the council members, Mike Todd's also on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And
the idea is to
try to not have a redundant, because it's 2 miles there and 2 miles back, so it's 4 miles every 10 minutes. And that's a lot of extra driving. So we asked them just to see, is it possible to try to get some momentum going that direction? It may not end up being just because of the rate, how long the buses are, and we're not going to redesign the roads. It may not work, but certainly the Orange Line coming down there and having to be a partner on that is
sure. I don't think anyone's anti-Orange Line. I think it's the you know, it's an idea to explore. There's the engineering aspect of it, but there's just also the traffic aspect of it too. And it was interesting seeing all the votes last night. Hey, let's keep that road maybe the way it is, type of thing, or maybe it becomes something else. Maybe there's a roundabout out here too to deal with.
Well,
I know, but I'm just saying it's been great to explore all the ideas, and I'm not vote either way, but I'm just saying, you know, it's been really good. I think from my perspective to see a broad perspective of people that are interested in this piece of land, both people that live here and entities that do business here, Community Transit being one, and then the small business owners also saying, you know, I do a lot of I hope I can keep my small business here too, because I've thought about it. The only building I've never done business in is the Bank of America building. Since I moved to town here in 2004, I've done business in every one of the other buildings. In that area, different businesses at different times, and owned a business in one of those buildings too. So it's
very interesting. Well, even if we don't change anything in the zoning at all, the Orange Line still is really important, because there's no parking at the Littlewood Transit Station. Very little, so it's totally dependent on people being able to get in these bus lines to get them in. So if you're going to go to the airport or go to Seattle and you want to be in a bus line, you're going to have to come in that way or get there super early in the morning.
I hope the community transit rep didn't misunderstand me last night too. I wasn't trying to be pushy about their stop. I was just throwing it out as an idea that maybe we can loop that into this comp plan, so that the Orange Line has better metrics to that, you know, because so they're not blocking traffic and things like that.
One thing as far as the stop for the westbound Orange Line is that it does have it in a separate lane, like where it's got to pull back out. So it's sort of set up for a bat lane that's going to go across all the way across I-5 eventually. The part that goes up to the bridge would be built as part of the project. So there, that one is actually out of the lane. So anyway.
Interesting. Very high level. It's really fun to
It's exciting. You know, we don't get to do a whole lot of that. We don't have a whole lot of land left. This is kind of unless we do some annexations, this is sort of the last spot we really have to do any kind of chance to take a new look at something and see if it's going to be different. Because the housing stock's in really good shape in the city. So it's not like we have areas that are ripe for, you know, bulldozing to start developing with.
Well, and that's the one thing that's not changing over the next 30 years, right? I mean,
I don't think the homes that
are here are going to be here 30 years from now. I mean, that's
no, even the apartments changing. Running up the highway, most of them are in pretty darn good shape.
Yeah.
The value of the property would have to be astronomical, and you have to say you can go to a not wood construction but meadow and go really high for it to make any sense to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Is there any property on 35th there was somebody saying that there's a property on 35th that might have been available? It might not be within the city limits. It could be just outside of it, but it was on
by the espresso stand. There's one there. We have an application in for that.
Posting on that.
It's zone neighborhood business. It's a mixed-use project with commercial or activity on the bottom and units on top.
And so that would be, I'm assuming, apartment?
Apartment
units. So between that and the farm, that would be the only additional stock of apartments coming in.
Yeah.
What? There was that spot where they proposed self-storage units kind of up farther north on 35th, opposite the Safeway Albertson. That was opposite of that, on the farm, well, just south of the farm. Did that ever go anywhere where it was kind of that bifurcated property by the water and they had a small bit on 35th and the old Pacific Topsoil?
Like what, like max 4 to 6?
4 to 6 houses, and then
nine townhouses.
There's nine townhouses that are approved.
Yeah, okay, that's where
that's pending. It's
they just never built. Yeah.
Not yet, but they've been
They're at civil plans right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're going to be
doing okay, something. They are doing. And just since we brought it north, south on Bothell-Everett Highway, outside the city, but on the east side of Bothell-Everett, there's a large undeveloped parcel with the cyclone fencing around it. It's just outside our city boundary, opposite where we looked at the rezone.
The school district.
Is it between,
is that the school
is
district?
South of the old Chet Hill Road and down 172nd?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, I thought that was Mill Creek.
It's outside the city.
It's, outside.
It's 20 acres. It's a really nice piece.
Was that where they were thinking the middle school?
Well, you're going to be on the board, right?
I'm already on the board.
Okay, you're on the board. So I think on their capital plans, it still says that they might build a school there someday.
Yes.
I have heard through other channels that the reality is that it's kind of land bank as an investment because they don't like building schools on really busy roads.
So when they originally put that in the capital project plan, Bothell-Everett Highway was a 2-lane road.
Yeah.
So that was a whole different thought pattern around making that a potential school site. And then the Prairie School School model for what would have been probably a middle school there has also expanded. So what used to be maybe a 500 to 600 school, which would be your prototypical middle school, is now more closer to 1,000. So between all that, it's probably, who knows, but that was the thinking when they put it originally on that capital plan. So that is, okay, so I thought it was in the city that you're saying.
It's just outside, but it's been upzoned to high density residential, so it has a significant value. Sewerage is a little difficult. You may have to build a lift station or something like that to get it to. We've had some preliminary looks at that because they had to come across to the other side of the roads is in the city.
So it is high density residential, not
and the
not
county
business.
Zone.
Yeah. Yeah. The county zone.
Could it be a community center potentially? Would that fit within the zoning?
I don't know for the county.
Oh, that's right. It would be a county.
It'd be right now, it's
okay.
In the county zone.
Okay.
So.
Just curious. I figured it had to be some public entity. I wasn't sure what.
It's
too lazy
it's
to
a, it's
look.
It's a prime piece.
It's lazier to ask.
Yeah.
It's a prime piece of property.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very nice. Mostly level. It slopes up at the back, but it's a. Anything else from our participants?
So, just a question: does it feel like the business entities and the residential entities, as much as those could be separated? Because I know some folks wear two hats. Do they feel like they're on the same page?
The first meeting, I think the business people were a little bit afraid they were going to just get rolled on this.
Yeah.
And I think people. There were a lot of dots keeping it economically viable, whatever that means,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But that was definitely it. So I'm hoping that, you know, like the Safeway owner feels like we're not out to get him. And it was very vocal on this housing piece, anti-apartment. But I don't think it's anti-housing. It's this anti,
apartment.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that the whole term of Section 8 housing came up several times. Oh, you're going to, and it was like,
that's
no, that's not. And, but there's this stuff that's floating in the community
and so. Workforce housing. So even the farm is workforce housing. It's not Section 8. It's not even really low income. It's simply workforce.
Yeah.
Basically anti-renter versus anti-owner.
And it
owner.
Is, yeah, and it's a perception of what renters do.
Well,
if
we can somehow work a way to keep the businesses there, and increase the amount of people that live there, the businesses will do better.
Yeah,
I think that
we need more customers.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
Yes.
And restaurants, pubs, things like that, bakeries, coffee shops do well,
yeah.
Things you can't buy on the internet.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of, I'd say there is a majority who are definitely on that approach. Though I don't know exactly what that looks like Dennis says, is that 70 or is it 40? Is it, you know?
And I think there is still a fear that, like, one of the gentlemen that owns the business in Mr. Wingert.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's concerned about his suite that he's in. But again, it's a long term plan. I don't know if he's going to. And that piece of property is probably one of the prime ones. That really isn't in that great of shape right now. I mean,
right.
It's
a prime piece of property and it's a piece of shit building.
So which,
well,
which
there's a.
You were a tenant,
yeah,
so you can.
Exactly.
Say,
right? I rented in that building. I had an office in that building.
Yeah.
And,
so I mean, but you know, as redevelopment happens, there are ways you can do development agreements or things that talk about first choice or refusal or some way to make sure that they get a chance to come into what new were to be built. I mean, there are things that can happen to sort of try to retain those businesses that are successful.
But
we're not, that's really in the weeds, though. I mean, right now
yeah.
we're talking about big picture, what do you want to look like in 20 years, and
yeah.
implementing it's going to be the challenge.
The Haven's up and running. I haven't met anybody who's been inside. You guys, I'm just curious. Is it
okay? No, if you see people dancing in there enough, floor that's bigger than 300 square feet, let me know.
I thought it was,
it's an odd space.
Well, they wanted to.
Have you ever been
they
in
wanted
there?
They came in.
I was asking, have you ever been in there?
Which
oh.
one is it?
It used to be the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
North Club Party Center.
Yeah, they wanted it to be a nightclub, and they were actually running it as one, but it's not sprinklered. And they don't have fixed seats, so basically.
Just pack them in
so we worked out a deal to where they're. it's sort of an event where you can rent it out, like for weddings or something like that, but there are some limitations. And
it was interesting you bring that up, but it was interesting the council members mentioned the gateway to Mill Creek used to be the Jet Bar, which is now the Urgent Care. I mean, so there's a big upgrade for us, and you know, that was a, you know, an eyesore for a long time, and now, hey, that's improved, and hey, what do we want to do? So it's not looking at where are we at today, but where can we be 15 years from now? And you know,
I remember it was the Mill Creek Cafe. I had my second interview sitting in there with Bill Trimble.
Yeah.
He was on his way to the airport to go skiing. I was still in town. So anyway, so any more on that?
Anything else for the good of the order?
Well, but to answer your question, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of us and them on the committee.
Okay,
it just
seems like folks are.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
That's nice.
And I think OTEC's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I think they do a real nice job.
They definitely, that's obvious they've done this a time or two.
Yeah.
Nice.
That completes that item. Do you have anything for the good of the order?
No, I did at the last meeting that we canceled, I did send out a memo about the business park zoning stuff. And basically, the decision was that with all that we're talking about here and to distract and sort of our workload, is that we're going to put that off until we kind of get through this planning effort. So if you have any questions about that, I mean, we've kind of taken it to a certain point, but it involves some comprehensive plan changes and some other things, and it just seemed like we're messing around in something that we're already messing around in. So that's.
Do we have enough for a meeting in January?
Well, I wouldn't say to cancel it yet, but I'll be back here giving you sort of updates about this, if nothing else.
Well, and by then we'll potentially have the two scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be awesome.
Well, we'll have the vision statement.
So once
that draft comes out, so we'll be talking about what that is, and either we'll be going into the scenarios for the meeting to do the scenarios, or we'll have just recently done it.
Was there any progress on the vision statement?
No, they used the dots, and what are you looking for? And they were
going
to put it, so I thought it was very, very structured, their approach of getting there. So, but that was the direction from the council members last time, is hey, we paid you.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend a bunch of time doing wordsmithing here. You come up with some things we can react to rather than us developing.
Well, and I think that's key, is that we don't, I've been through several exercises where you get, seven, but this is 15, where you try to take a paragraph and wordsmith it. And so we're trying to get them to buy off on, we'll just have general ideas and some bullets with the concepts. And we can do some wordsmithing when we come up with a plan at the end. We should just be able to get enough out of this to direct our work on the scenarios. And I got some buy-off from the council members.
It was a good format because they have 10 major titles, and then there was all the, we were voting for stuff. So then they can plug it in. You could almost edit just the sentence if you don't like the sentence, rather than trying to wordsmith a paragraph. And
right. So hopefully we don't get buried in that, because 3 hours would be
enough. I thought it was a great strategy to get to a vision statement.
It's 8:15 p.m. We were adjourned.
Awesome.
8:15.
8:50.
7:50. 7:46.
7:50.
Yeah. I was thinking, boy, I've been here longer than I thought.